Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Finally today, we want to take a trip to the kitchen to talk about fish. Although summer vacations are winding down and you can start to feel September in the air, there is still time to enjoy the flavors from our New England shores. Author Jennifer Traynor Thompson calls fish and shellfish superfoods that she says are easy to cook and enjoy all year long. Traynor Thompson says it's about time we get over our fear of fish and cook more of it. And she explains exactly how to do that in her latest book titled Fresh Fish, A Fearless Guide to Grilling, Shucking, Searing, Poaching, and Roasting Seafood. Traynor Thompson joins us now from the studios of WAMC in Albany. Welcome to Radio Boston, Jennifer.
Thank you.
So you've written more than 20 books. You've been nominated for 3 James Beard Awards, and you call your latest, your most personal book, and quote, a barefoot ode to the soul of the coast. What does that mean?
Well, it's ostensibly a seafood cookbook, but it really is about the pleasures of living along the coast of New England from Maine to Connecticut. And I'm a 10th generation swamp Yankee, which means I hail from southeastern Massachusetts. And it's a book I've always wanted to read. I can lose myself in the marshes and the waves and the clam flats of the coast, whether it's the rocky shore of Maine or it's, you know, in the Cape and Islands. So this was such a pleasurable romp through, you know, what makes coastal, and what does it feel like to just indulge yourself and lose yourself in the pleasures of looking out to the sea.
So we'll get to recipes in just a minute, but right now you spend your time between the Berkshires and Buzzards Bay, and you actually say that coastal New England has become more interesting in terms of its cuisine. You think so? We're not talking about just basic seafood recipes here. We're talking about some variations.
That's true. I mean, there are old standbys, you know, certainly baked beans and things, but the coast of New England is so interesting right now, obviously part of the artisanal and locavore movement, but people, there are so many people who take various flavors, whether it's from the immigrants that it started with the whalers and continued with those who worked in the textile mills. I mean, for example, in Providence, Rhode Island, you find influences of Portuguese and Azorean, Italian cooking, more recently Lebanese. In New Bedford, you've got Guatemalan and El Salvadorian flavors. It's just really interesting the rifts that people have taken with their foods, both at home and in the restaurants. And while I've always written about what interests me, my first book was actually on nuclear power. And then I went on to write about hot sauces, and my father kept saying I went from explosion to explosion. But this is a book after my own heart. It's all about gunkholing. And my publisher said, what is gunkholing? And I said, the people who like the coast will know that that's just hanging out by the water and kicking up your feet and enjoying the pleasures of the salt air and the sea.
All right. Well, let's start, as any good New Englander should, with chowder. And or should I say chowder, right?
Chowder.
Chowder. Okay. So one of the recipes in your book is a recipe from President Kennedy, his chowder recipe. Tell us about that and tell us what's different about his version compared with others.
Yeah, you know, chowders were a really interesting place to start. They were, you know, one of the original dishes that seafarers would use because it's just one pot. In fact, my parents honeymooned in Provincetown in 1952, and they camped on the beach and fished all day, and they just had a pot going on a wood fire for the whole 2 weeks that they just would add to. And that's just how forgiving it is. And as I was researching it, I found that every state and every region has its own predilections. I know that you were in Rhode Island for a while, which is a very small state with very big flavors.
Very big.
And they make a chowder with no cream or milk.
Right, it's clear, you know, clear broth, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a bacon base with a roux. It's just marvelous. But I also wanted to contribute a really basic New England clam chowder, like what you really want on a rainy night when you're in New Bedford. And JFK's chowder is, and it's hilarious. It's in the archives at the library in Boston. And apparently a young girl had written to him asking her for his recipe. And his secretary, she was disabled, and his secretary put a note on top of it and said, "Dear Mr. President, please reply to her. She'll be extremely happy. And do not mention anything in the letter about her handicap, please." as so he would. But anyway, the response was he sent this young girl his recipe. And it's very traditional. I mean, it's actually a fish chowder instead of a clam chowder, although you could certainly suggest substitute clams. Mm. And it's rendered with a salt pork, and it's got haddock and onions and potato and celery. And it's very simply seasoned with bay leaf, salt, and pepper. And it's milk instead of cream and a little bit of butter. And it's delicious.
Mm. Well, you know, a lot of this, you said, is to help people get over their fear of fish. So let's talk just briefly, because we want to give some bullet points here to people about some of the reasons why people might be afraid of fish. First of all, how do you buy it? How do you know it's any good? I remember a saying in my house was, if it smells like fish, it's probably old. If it smells like the ocean, it's probably gold. Is that a rule?
Oh, that's a great one. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
I mean, and the adage I know is fish and company stink after 3 days.
Right.
It was really interesting. Being a New Englander, I assumed everybody cooked fish as much as I did. And I found so many people who told me they never cook it at home. They order salmon or shrimp in a restaurant, and that's it, because they're afraid of stinking up their kitchen, and they're afraid of sourcing it. And I think it's the eyes. You know, when you buy beef, you just aren't confronted with eyes right. of the cow. So, yes, you want to look for, if there are eyes, you want to look for eyes that are really clear. You want to look for a fish that has absolutely no smell. And then if you press on the fish, that it sort of bounces back. You know, you can tell if it's really, really fresh. And that's what you're looking for. I think you also want to trust your source. You want to go to a market that you think is really good. And I had a fascinating trip. The fishmonger I go to, I asked him to take me to the market, and he took me at 5:30 a.m. to New Bedford, and I learned so much. For example, when the trawlers go out, they go out for a week. And so when they bring back fresh fish, some of it is 7 days old and some of it is 1 day old. And I asked this fishmonger how he always got the fish that was 1 day old. And he said, well, the buddy who works on the boat I went to high school with. And that's how it works. You know, these trawlers are, they're cousins or high school buddies who work together. And so I think that if you, that's the first stop, is to trust who you're buying it from.
Hmm. Now, it is the end of August, so I'm wondering, give us one recommendation for an end of summer recipe right now with a fish that's in its prime this time of year.
Oh, gosh, there's so much. Let's see. Well, bluefish, certainly. I mean, the blues are running. And if you're lucky to catch one, you know, you can just clean it and keep the head and tail intact. And it is the simplest thing. You put in the cavity lemon, limes, salt and pepper, a little bit of olive oil. You could add herbs if you wanted to. You could add basil, thyme, whatever you have in your garden that you find flavorful. You line the cavity with the lemon and lime slices and season it generously. And then you coat the outsides of the fish with a little bit of oil. And then you grill it, generally 10 minutes per inch of thickness of fish. And you flip it halfway through.
All right. Sounds delicious. Jennifer Traynor Thompson, author of more than 20 books, including her latest titled Fresh Fish, A Fearless Guide to Grilling, Shucking, Searing, Poaching, and Roasting Seafood. Jennifer, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
You can find more information, including recipes for Rhode Island clam chowder and stuffies, at our website, radioboston.org. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.